As always, I'm very happy to come and open the Lord's Word with us this morning. It's always such an honor and a privilege to be able to come and speak. As I said, as we've been looking through different Psalms, this morning we're going to look at Psalm 145, and the title this morning is very simple. It's a Psalm of Praise. This is a Psalm of Praise written by King David, and if you have the little titles in your Bible above each Psalm, you'll see this is titled, Great is the Lord, a Song of Praise of David. A Song of Praise. It's the only psalm titled, A Song of Praise. We talk a lot about praising the Lord and singing praises to Him and His name. We come to church on Sunday. We call it our worship service. Or some places call it a praise service. Some places even call it celebration as they gather together on a Sunday morning for their service, for their weekly service. And I'm sure as all of you know by now, as we start our services, we start by talking about what we know of Christ, the truth, and that's why we praise Him. We praise Him for the truth that we find in His Word. And that's why we gather together to praise Him. We gather together to praise Him. We know we need to praise the Lord. We know we need to reflect on Him. So I thought this would be a good reminder today. Today, time when anxiety and worry run rampant in a world. Time of uncertainty in the economy. Perhaps a time of uncertainty in your job security, or a time of uncertainty in your health, something very basic that we all take for granted at one time or another. A time where we could let fear creep into our lives. Yes, a time like no other. But we know our Father in heaven, and we know of His daily provision for us. Because of that provision, we do not need to have anxiety in our life. We do not need to know fear. We all know in our heads that Christ calmed the storm, that He is our hope in hopelessness. We know He is our hope in life and in death. Today I want to focus our time on praising Him. I want to go through and see what Psalm 145 has to say about praising the Lord. I hope this is an encouragement to you today. It's very easy when times are good and we have no trials or hardships in our lives. It's very easy during these times to depend and trust in God and His provision and protection. Also, when times are good, it's very easy to praise God for all that He has done and for all that He is doing with us and for us. But when times are hard, when we don't know what tomorrow will bring, we are conflicted, and when we are not confident in what is next in our life, that is when we need to lean on Him and depend on Him and, yes, praise Him even more. Let's take a minute to look through this psalm together. I'm going to read Psalm 145 for us now. Psalm 145 says, I will extol You, my God and King, and bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You and praise Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend Your works to another and shall declare Your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wondrous works. I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of Your awesome deeds, and I will declare Your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of Your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of Your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all He has made. All Your works shall give thanks to You, O Lord, and all Your saints shall bless You. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of many your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who have bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Now this morning we're going to look more of an overview of this passage, as if you can see from a lot of these verses, there could be an entire message on just one verse, let alone the entire chapter. So this is going to be more of a overview of this psalm this morning. Right away in this psalm, we see King David start with, "I will extol you, my God and King." So extol, I've heard this word before, but I wanted to look it up and see exactly what Google had to say of what this meant. It told me that it is a verb, which if I remember correctly, a verb is an action. It is a verb that means praise enthusiastically. I like that because it's not just to praise, but to praise enthusiastically. To praise with an intense and eager enjoyment and interest. I also looked up more than just what Google had to say about this word. I wanted to see what the biblical usage of extol was. And it said that it is used to rise up, be high, be lofty, be exalted. So we find David here enthusiastically lifting on high, exalting his God and King in praise as he starts this psalm. I want to also point out King David calls him his King, which is showing he, God, is the King of Kings. He is King of the world, the King of Zion, and the King of his church and his people. Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2 say, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." So first we see in our passage that our praise is to be constant. Our praise is to be constant. Verse 1, bless your name forever and ever. Verse 2, every day I will bless you. This is talking about a constant worship. We are to be constantly worshiping him every day and forever. This isn't something that we do one time. This isn't something that we do just here on Sunday morning as we gather together as a congregation. This is something that we do constantly, every day, forever and ever. And we see a few verses that talks about this. We see Psalm 113, verse 3. It says, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." We also see in Psalm 104, verse 33, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being." Also, Psalm 71 and verse 15, "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge." And then also Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." So we see from these passages, and there are many, many more just like it, that we are to, that our praise is to be constant. We are to be constantly praising him. Christopher Ashe, who some of us heard a few years ago at a conference, but Christopher Ashe in his commentary on Psalms said this on this passage. He said, the psalm begins, verses 1 and 2, and ends with verse 21, with praise. In verse 1 and 2, the king, David, praises God the king. He does so with a praise that is unreserved. The three words, exalt, praise, extol, convey something of this, unbroken every day and unending forever and ever. If we try to stir ourselves up to do this, we will fail. For there is no gospel in just trying to stand in David's shoes. No, you and I are not speaking verses 1 and 2. The anointed king speaks them, pleading himself by the Spirit to praise only when Jesus of Nazareth perfectly makes the Father known, which is what praise means. We see this in John 1 verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. And at the end of verse 21, the king repeats this pledge. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Then he gives his call to us. Let every creature praise. In a way, the Hallelujah chorus of Psalm 146 through 150 is a response to this call. This psalm is an invitation to join the choir of Jesus, our King, as he praises God, the Father, his King. Now, as we continue through the psalm, we see the reasons for this enthusiastic praise. We find several reasons in this psalm, several truths that we can look to of why our praise is to be constant. First, we see the greatness of God, the greatness of God. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The Lord is great in and of himself. His being is independent, eternal, infinite, perfect. God's greatness, his infinity, is in itself a just grounds of praise. For we should rejoice that he is the one infinite eternal being, as all his greatness is delivered in truth, law, good order, justice, kindness, mercy, and love. It calls for continued praise to him. Another reason in the psalm we find that we praise him is his deeds are great. We see from verses 4 through 7, one generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. His mighty acts and the splendor of your majesty. We see God and his mighty acts and abundant goodness at work in this world and in our lives every day. God's deeds or his work are his glorious manifestations of mercy and righteousness. His acts are great and greatly to be praised. That is the reaction to his mighty acts. We see verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Verse 5, I will meditate. Verse 6, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. I will declare your greatness. And verse 7, shall sing aloud of your righteousness. What is David saying he is doing with his praise? He's declaring it. He is teaching it to another generation. He will speak of it. He will meditate on it. He will sing of it. These are all actions. Is your praise of God moving you to action? Is it causing you to sing of his mighty works and deeds? Are you meditating on him? Are you proclaiming or declaring his praise to others? Let's have an active praise to God, not a passive one. Let's declare his mighty works. We should be actively praising the Lord. We praise him for his greatness. We praise him for his deeds are great. And we praise him for the next thing we find, his mercy. We see this in verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. The Lord is gracious and merciful. This is the characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it can truly be said of him that he is gracious, kind, and good. He is full of grace and readily distributes it. His words are words of grace. His gospel and the doctrine of it are doctrines of grace. His works are works of grace, all coming from his wondrous grace and mercy. He is abounding in steadfast love. He is full of compassion. He came into this world to save sinners and in his love redeem them. When on earth he showed his compassion both to the bodies and souls of men, he would heal their bodies and instruct the soul. He was full of compassion for the sheep without a shepherd. He is compassionate to his people under all their temptations, afflictions, and trials. Let me read for you Hebrews 2, verses 16 through 18. Hebrews 2, 16 through 18, that says, "For surely it is not angels that helps us, that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." We praise him, for we know he is good, and his mercy is over all that he has made. We echo the words of the chorus to the song that we sing many times, "His mercy is more." As we know, the chorus says, "Praise the Lord, his mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, but his mercy is more." We praise him for his greatness. We praise him for his deeds are great. We praise him for his mercy. And then we also see next, we praise him for his glorious, everlasting kingdom. Verses 10 through 13. "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The kingdom of God among men is a thing to be often thought of and often spoken of. The greatness of his kingdom is unmatched, for all the kings and kingdoms of earth are under his control. The glory of his kingdom, verse 11, and the glorious splendor of your kingdom, verse 12. He has prepared his throne in the heavens, and it is high and lifted up and surrounded with angels. The courts of Solomon were magnificent, but cannot even come close to comparing to the glorious majesty of God's kingdom." We praise him for his glorious and everlasting kingdom. Verse 13, what is significant of an everlasting kingdom in a day and age when this was written? The world was ruled by kings and kingdoms. This is everything to them. And this is opposite This is opposing to all other kingdoms and monarchies of that day and today, which have or will end, not his kingdom that is set up in glory. His kingdom will continue forever. Daniel 2:44 says, In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all the kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Also, the king is opposed to all other kings who died and their kingdoms were no more. But he never dies. He lives forever. He is the living God and everlasting king whose dominion endures throughout all generations. In this world and that to come, there is no end. We praise him for his greatness. We praise him for his deeds. We praise him for his mercy. We praise him for his everlasting kingdom. And then we also see we praise him for his provision. We see verses 14 through 20. The Lord upholds all who are falling and rises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands to satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. All his creatures he provides for. He gives them their food in due season. All the creatures live and depend upon God, and he is our creator, and we depend on him for our being. We depend on him to continue to support and provide for us. The hand of his wonderful bounty is stretched out to his creation. We know this from Matthew 6, how he feeds and clothes the birds of the air and the grass of the fields. So how much more will he take care of us who are greater in value? We know the Lord will provide for us what we need today, and so we praise him. We praise him for his provision. For his provision for us, we praise him, for we do not have to worry or be full of anxiety, because he provides for his children as our Father in heaven. We see King David praise him, the King of Kings, for his unsearchable faithfulness to the world. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and not unrighteous in any of them. He is holy. He is perfect in all his works, and in all his acts he is just. He supports those that are sinking, who are falling, and it is his honor to help the weak and the bowed down. We see verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are bowed down. Many of us are brought very low by sickness, by worry, by fear, by distress, and seem ready to drop into despair. And yet the Lord wonderfully upholds us, raises us up, and sets us on our feet. Many of God's children who have been ready to fall into sin, fall into despair, have experienced his goodness in preventing their fall or recovering them speedily by his grace and comfort, so that even though we fall, we are not utterly cast down. We see from verse 20, Lord preserves all who love him. We praise him, for he takes us under his special protection. We sit exposed and vulnerable in this world, but he, in his love and mercy, will effectually secure us and preserve us. We all see King David giving praise to God. Unchangeable faithfulness to the covenant people. The covenant first given to Abraham in Genesis and fulfilled in Christ, who is faithful and kind in all his works. We see verses 18, 19, and 20 say, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." We see in his character, in his law, in his providential dealings, in his arrangements for the redemption of salvation of man, in his own character, he is what is desirable that a God should be. In all his law, he ordains that only which is desirable should be ordained. In all his dealings with men, he does that which is desirable and should be done. He violates no rights. He wrongs no one. He demands of no one a service which would be unjust. He makes no arrangements for pardon and salvation which is not best for us. It is much for a man to be able to say in all that occurs to him under the divine direction, it is right. It is great for a man to be able to feel that all he, the King of Kings, does in respect to this world is best, is the best thing that could be done. Then we see there is a special sense in which he seems to be near to us, in which he manifests himself to us, in which he gives us evidence of his presence. It is in prayer, in praise, in his ordinances, in his gracious interceding on our behalf, and the peace and joy which we have in communion with him. We lastly conclude with verse 21. "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." David concludes with the resolution to give the glory to God. "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord." He ends the psalm almost the same way he started the psalm of praise, praising the Lord always, at all times, as long as he lived, he praised the Lord. As long as we live and have breath, we should be praising the Lord. Let all flesh, all mankind, praise the Lord forever and ever. Just as we started today with saying, our praise is constant, we end with saying, our praise is constant. For all the reasons we talked about and see in the psalm, we praise him constantly. Even though we might be restless right now, even though we might not know what tomorrow will bring, we praise him, for we know he is worthy of all glory, praise, and honor. We praise him today and every day. Every day we have breath, we praise the Lord. We praise him because we are sinners, deserving of punishment. Yet God, in his love and perfect will, sent his only perfect Son to die that we might live, that we might be covered by his blood. We praise him, for we put our faith and hope in him for salvation. So let me ask you, first and foremost, is your faith and trust in him today? Second, is your praise of God moving you to action? Are you constantly and without end praising the Lord today and every day? Let us be known as a people, as a church, who enthusiastically praise the King of Kings. Christopher Ashe went on in his commentary to say, "We are invited to join the choir of Jesus Christ, our King, as he leads his people in open, unbroken, and unending praise to the Father God for his sovereign goodness, and his unchangeable faithfulness to this world and to his people. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, this morning as we've looked at praising you, Lord, I pray, my prayer for every one of us is that our praise would be constant. Lord, that as long as we have breath in this life, in this body here on earth, that we would praise you. And Lord, I pray that our praise would be in action, that we would be teaching the generations to come, that we would be openly declaring your praise to others. Lord, I pray that as we praise you and worship you, that our praise would not be a passive praise, but our praise would be active. We would be moving. We would be showing our praise to you through our singing of praise, through our declaring your goodness, your greatness, declaring your praise to others, and Lord, by teaching the generations to come. And also, Lord, by meditating, as you say, meditating on you and your word and praising you in our meditation. Lord, I pray that we would be moved to action, for you are great and greatly to be praised. So Lord, as we go forth this morning, I pray, Lord, that as we go this week, that we would praise you in all that we do, no matter what may come, no matter what discouragements or hardships may come, Lord, may we praise you, for your steadfast love endures forever. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.